take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Revelation 3. We'll continue our study in the book of Revelation, Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13. We're talking about the approved church of Philadelphia, lesson number 11. If you need lesson number 11, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get that. Lesson number 11. And we are still in section 2, dealing with Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Section 2 is called the announcement to the seven churches, these letters written by God to these seven churches, but they are not exclusive to each church. They are for us. They are for all the churches. They are specific in their different messages to the different churches as to how God is dealing with them, but certainly it all applies to us and should apply to us. Our memory verse for this section, Revelation 3:11, simple verse, small verse, short verse, but a good verse. And so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. And again, Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. Thank you so much, Father, for the time we can spend in your word today. And I pray it'll be profitable to each and every one of us, that we will listen and we'll open our hearts, and Lord, that we'll gain what we need to gain from your word today. I pray we'd all be different because of today, and that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we, a couple weeks ago, talked about, number one, the city, as we have with each of these letters, the city that is represented. This city, of course, is Philadelphia, and it is located 30 miles southeast of Sardis, our last city that we talked about, and very heavy Jewish population, and primarily was a lot of poor people living on the outskirts of Philadelphia. And so that ties in very well with what God says to this church. And certainly we know that there are a lot of poor people that are saved people, and so there's things that we can gain. In fact, we would all look at ourselves and say, "Well, I don't know if there's any rich people here," but the idea that some of the things that are said we'll get into today, it's good to know the background, good to know what kind of people these were. You don't have to be poor to be faithful, but often the most faithful are poor, or they don't have as much finances. And again, sometimes I think that's because they have to trust God. They must trust God. Sometimes we get money, we get fame, we get fortune, we get position, and we trust in that more so. Now, not everybody does. That's not always true, but certainly that could be a trend. So that was the city, then the characteristic of Christ we talked about also 2 weeks ago. And again, the way that the letter is signed, it's always signed at the beginning, and that is how it was in those days. And so the Lord says in verse 7, he says, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. And so he's describing himself. And then he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. And we ended on that, talking about that, and I love that. In fact, I'm going to mention that in the morning message today. He opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. And I like that. God gives you an open door, then nobody's going to shut it. God opens a door for you. God gives you an opportunity, then nobody can mess with that. The only person that can stop that going through that door is you. And God opens a door, you don't have to worry about the devil. He can't mess with it. You don't have to worry about the world. They can't mess with it. We're watching all kinds of things happen. We're seeing governmental decisions that affect us. We're going to see more of them. But if God opens a door, you don't have to worry about it. If God opens a door, you just go through the door. Amen. And we need to just go through the door. And the devil can't stop us. The government can't stop us. Nobody can stop the door that God opens. Nobody can open the door that God shuts. And Noah's Ark is a good example of that. And so again, you know, nothing, we'll have every kind of excuse in the world that we might give for not serving God or not doing something for God. But ultimately, if God opened the door for you to go through the door. And, well, you know, my family said, don't use your family as an excuse. If God opened the door, you go through the door. Well, my friends didn't like, yeah, and don't worry about it. You know, we're so worried about what everybody may think and so worried about what everybody else is doing and everything. If God opens the door, we just need to go through the door. And praise the Lord for that. You know, Berean, we've run buses now for years and years and years and years and years and years. And praise the Lord, there's an open door. I've heard a lot of people say, well, we don't run buses anymore because, you know, licensing has made it too difficult. Driver's license, it's just too difficult. If God opens a door, go through the door. You know, fuel is expensive. But if God opens a door, let's just keep going through the door as long as God opens it. Now, God can close the door. That's up to him. But the door is open. Amen. And as long as the door is open, let's go through the door. Number three is the condemnation. And you'll notice here with the church at Philadelphia, there is none. Amen. And does anybody remember which other church there was no condemnation given? Which one? Nope. Okay, there's an X. Anybody remember? Oh, I'm hurt when you don't remember. Of course, it was like 2 months ago. Sad to say. We go so slow, I don't know whose fault it is. Anybody else remember? Well, I say anybody else, you didn't remember. Smyrna, there was no condemnation given. If you had your notes from way back then, you'd know that. But anyway, so again, we've been following the same outline, but in this case, there is no condemnation. None given in this passage of Scripture. Toward the church at Philadelphia. Now, does that mean they're perfect? No, they can't be perfect because there's people there. Amen? That's what people say, well, I want to go to the perfect church. No such thing. Not on this earth. It's just not going to happen because there's an imperfect pastor, there's imperfect people, there's, you know, everybody's imperfect, so there's no perfect church. But here's the thing that I think is always going to be true. I think it was true about the church at Smyrna as well, and that is they were not perfect, but they wanted to be perfect. They wanted to please God. They wanted to do right. They wanted. And there's a huge difference in you know, Berean Baptist Church, for example. There are folks that really want to do right and strive to do right, and there's others that don't really care. It's always going to be that way. It's that way in our Christian school. We'll have some young people say, you know, I just want to please God. I want to do right. Does that mean they always do right? Well, no, ask their parents. They'll tell you they don't always do right. But when they do wrong, they get it right. You know, 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is always ready to cleanse you. God is always, that's why we give an altar call. Every service, give an altar call. Why? Well, because God is always ready and willing to cleanse us. God is, you know, so you see dirt on your face, God says, let me wipe that off. Amen. You see a flaw, you see a problem, you see something in your life. By the way, folks, we come to church and or we sit at home and read our Bible. Any of those times, we should be seeing things in our lives that need cleaned up because we're not perfect. Sounds like one of those Western towns, you know. We're not. Well, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But it's the truth. But see, the difference is, do you want to be? God, I do want to please you. God, I don't want to mess up. God, I don't want to think wrong thoughts. I don't want to go wrong places. I don't want to say wrong things. I don't want to do bad things. I want to please you, God. And so, again, as you think about the folks here at Philadelphia, they were a group of people that Though there was persecution, and remember, during this time, there was great, great persecution. Again, I'm not talking about somebody making fun of you for going to church. I'm talking about these people, literally, they suffered. They suffered with their jobs. They suffered with their lives, with their children, with their families. This was great, strong persecution. Though they may have had financial problems and all of that, as far as we know, they did not complain. As far as we know, they weren't whining about it. They were just trying to please God. That means they didn't complain. They didn't compromise. You know, a lot of places. You know, well, we can't pay our bills, so we've got to get a bigger crowd in. So we'll compromise a little bit. We'll quit preaching the Bible because the Bible can be offensive to people. These people, as far as we know, they did not do that. Because there's no condemnation given. Certainly, they were tempted to do those things. Certainly, they were tempted to complain and gripe and everything else. But as far as we know, if they did gripe, if they did complain, if they did slip up, if they did mess up, if they did sin, they got it right with God to the place where God did not say to them, "Okay, here's what you're doing wrong." And praise the Lord for that. I mean, that should be our testimony. Again, there's not a person in this room that's going to give a testimony of being perfect. Nobody. Not from here all the way back. There's no person that can give that. But we can give a testimony of God. I'm really trying. I'm really trying, God. Last week I thought this, and I had to get on my knees before you and get it right. God, I did this, but I had to get it right with you, and that should be our testimony. So I like that. Number three, the condemnation. Number four, the commendation. And this, there is a lot of positive said about the church at Philadelphia. And again, I love this passage. I love what is said. And try to remember as you think about this, that this church, I say little church, I don't know that it was a little church, but I think of it as a church on the outskirts of the city. Big city, a lot of things going on in the city, but a church of primarily not wealthy people. There might have been some, but primarily it was poorer kinds of people, history tells us. And there they were out there, and they're, in my mind, I think they're running buses, well, chariots, amen. And I think they have a shepherd's ministry. I think they love everybody, not just what people call normal people. I think they would have a shepherd's ministry like we have over in the school over there. And I think they would love little bus kids and people that are poor. And I really think they would be that kind of, in my mind anyway, that's what I see it. And here's what he says in verse 8 again. As he says in every letter, he says, "I know thy works." I do want to remind you, God is interested in what we do. Amen. God isn't, people say all the time, well, as long as you're sincere. That isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says, "I know thy works." Amen. I know a lot of people that are sincere that do absolutely nothing. They're always sincere about doing something, but they do nothing. God's watching what we do. He knows our works. He knows what we're up to. He knows our prayer life. Amen. He knows our Bible reading time. He knows what we're doing. He's paying attention to our works. Why? Because we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Yeah, that's why I'm created in Christ Jesus. It's so I do good works, not so I think about good works. Brother Glenn, I could sit at home and just think about doing all kinds of good things. I'm going to do something for the carpenters. I'm just going to go do something for them someday. And then I'm going to do something for the Bowmans. And I could sit at home. I could come up with all kinds of good works to do. And plans would be absolutely spectacular. Because if all I do is sit and plan it, I can plan big. Amen. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a house. We're going to put it on 10 acres. I'm going to plant grass out there. It's going to be beautiful. And wouldn't that be something? I'm going to have a pond for you. Beautiful. I'm going to dig it. Hand dig it. Yeah. Yeah, and just to sit and plan it is, boy, pastor loves me. He's got great plans for me. Did he ever do it? No, and I'm not. But I'm thinking about it. hey, isn't it a shame we tell God stuff like that? God, thou knowest my heart. Yes, he does. But you know what he knows even better than that? He knows your record. Amen. Amen. I mean, can you imagine you telling your boss, your boss says, hey, I show here you didn't clock in any this week. Yeah, but I thought about it. I planned on it. Hey, you know, I looked at your quota this week, and your quota, you didn't do anything. You didn't turn out any parts. You didn't, nothing. I mean, absolutely. Yeah, but you don't understand. I thought about it. You're headed for trouble. Yeah. Yeah, you would spike that unemployment rate, which, by the way, didn't you see? Michigan's out of trouble. It went down. Anyway, all right. By the way, the closer it gets to the election, those numbers will all go down. Oh, I'll tell you what, folks, it's just going to be amazing how many people will be employed by, and how many houses will be not foreclosed on anymore. And you'll, because that's what you'll read. I got to get away from that. See, that's why I don't get done. It's your fault. Maybe I will build you that, or dig that pond for you. Anyway, I know thy works. I know thy works. Here's three things he says about that right here. First of all, notice, he says about that, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Look what he says, thou hast a little strength. Now, I love that little phrase, and I'm going to talk about that this morning in the morning message, but because it's just, I love it. Thou hast a little strength. Thou hast a little strength. Oh, I can't do anything. I just have a little strength. No, but God's not saying that in a negative way. God's saying that in a positive way. Thou hast a little strength. You have some strength. I mean, what's that mean? I mean, it's like the Good Samaritan story, the story of the Good Samaritan. The guy was half dead. Well, what's that mean? A lot of folks will look at it and say, "Oh, the poor guy's half dead." But one guy looks at it and says, "Hey, that guy's half alive." Amen. I'm a glass half full guy. I just. You know, honestly, it's like everybody, oh, you know, the glass is half, it's half empty. No, it's not. It's half full. Amen. And a guy's half dead, well, praise God, he's half alive. And God says about that, he said, thou hast a little strength. I love the song, Little Is Much When God Is In It. Amen. That's such a good song. And I remember, Darryl, remember, we sing that all the time. We started our church back in Bern, Indiana, and we were meeting in the storefront building, just a little group of folks, and we'd sing that song, and boy, that was such a blessing to me. Little is much when God is in it. And by the way, little is big when God's in it. And it may look little to everybody else, but it's big when God's in it. And so what does it mean you have a little strength? I speculate about this little church. I say little. Now, see, there I go again. This church of Philadelphia, and I speculate, I think about that group of people outside the city there. And, you know, the city is booming and all is going on. And there's that group of people. What's it mean? Thou hast a little strength. Well, maybe it means there weren't many of them. You know, I don't know that. I'm just, again, speculating. Maybe it was small numbers. But again, they're not making excuses. They're not, you know, there's no condemnation to this group of people. God says you have a little strength. Well, maybe there weren't very many of them. Maybe compared to other big churches in town, maybe they were a small church. You know, there was no excuse given here. Maybe he just says, you have a little strength. No excuse about that. Maybe a little strength meant they didn't have a lot of money in the church. You know, you look around. I read in the paper, and so and so died and left millions of dollars to such and such church. And you know, I don't want people to die, but I always think, why didn't somebody leave us $1 million? It just doesn't seem to ever happen. Never had a pastor friend in, here in Michigan. Somebody left them $500,000, and you know, he was all excited about that and everything. And I said, you know, yeah, and you talked to the Lord, you know, that'd be a good thing, really. Of course, God knows what's best, right? But God's not impressed with our money. Amen. He's not impressed with our accounts. He's only impressed with that we're being honest and doing it right. Amen. And we're paying the bills because that's our works. Hello. Amen. That's true. He likes that. He watches all that. But he's not impressed with our bank account. He's not impressed with you know, anything that we may have. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't know what it means. Thou hast a little strength. So maybe they were small in number. Maybe they were they didn't have much money. But again, they didn't give any excuses. Maybe they had a little strength because now they're weakened by the persecution. Well, that takes its toll. Amen. I mean, it really does. I mean, the persecution. Again, we're dealing with a persecution where people lost their lives. I mean, so-and-so taught such-and-such Sunday school class, and last week they were taken by the authorities and they were killed. Can you imagine that announcement on a Sunday morning? Can you imagine that announcement? The person that used to teach master clubs fourth through sixth grade, they were executed by the government. Can you imagine that announcement? I'm sorry, folks. We're gonna need a bus driver because the bus driver of the Tecumseh bus route, he was executed last week by the government. Now, see, I mean that happened, not bus routes, obviously, but those kind of things happened in that day, and I'm sure to the church at Philadelphia, those kinds of things happened. They had a little strength because they were weakened by persecution. Maybe it was like David going against Goliath. I mean, compare Goliath, big old Goliath, to little David. Goliath, with his armor bearer that carried the shield because it was so big, Goliath, who's trained as a soldier and his armor was heavier than David, and then David out there with his sling. It just seems like, but David, thou hast a little strength. How much strength did David have to have? How much did he have to have? We just had to have enough to sling the stone. That's all. He just had, really, all he had to have enough to say, God, I trust you. He had to have enough strength to say, is there not a cause? That's how much strength he had to have. Why? Because it wasn't David's strength that killed Goliath. It was God. It's the Lord. By the way, folks, it's not our strength that's going to accomplish anything in Adrian. It's going to be God. We can accomplish some things on our own, but it'll never be what it would be if we just let him do it. How much strength do you need? To God here, it seems like you just need a little strength. And as I'm going to preach this morning, when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul said. He says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. It's that little strength. If we would recognize that little strength, is all we need to let God do great things with us. You say, I feel like I just have a little strength. Praise God. Don't look at that as a negative. Look at that as a positive. Look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 in verse 29. Love this passage. Isaiah 40 in verse 29. The Bible says this. Let's start at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Hey, you feel like fainting today? Are you kind of exhausted? I'll be honest with you. You know, this week, this stretch right here, the last week and this week and the next, really all of February, I'm telling you, I'm already looking forward to the 1st of March. Now, I don't want days to pass. I'm old enough now to understand that days are very precious. But I set goals, and especially this time next week, I'll be just a little bit happier because this week will be passed, because it's going to be a wild week. Now, last week was a wild week with the auction and all of that, and I honestly dreaded what my voice would be like today, but it's not bad. I mean, there's a little rattle in there, but I was really nervous about that, and you know, just praying about it and praying, God, help my voice to be strong and all that. But you know what, God, he says as long as you have a little strength, I'll take care of the rest. And you know, it's amazing how he giveth power to the faint. Okay, what if you're not faint? Well, it would almost appear that he doesn't need to give you power. By the way, do you want his power or not in your life? Do you want him to do it or do you want to do it? So it seems to me like it's kind of good to get to the point where you are about to faint. That's why I say all the time, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen. I want to be busy. I want to be busy, and I want to be the one that's about to faint where I say, God, please, I got to have your strength. I need help. God, I just can't do what I used to do, and I can't. But notice what it says, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. By the way, why would the youths faint and be weary? Because they're busy. They're busy. You know, the youth that are out and they're about and they're busy. And our young people that, you know, they went to the youth activity the other night and stayed out till whatever it was, 1 o'clock or whatever. And, of course, the poor adults that went with them, they all slept in yesterday, probably were worthless all day. But those teenagers, you know, they're busy and they had activities. And our seniors have all these fundraisers and all of that. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Because why? Well, because the youth need God's power too. Amen. They need God's power too. And I love verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But that's in his strength. That's in his strength. So it's okay to be weary. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be weak. Because when we are, if we'll trust him and we'll lean on him and we'll let him, he'll empower us to do whatever it is he wants us to do. That's why Paul could say, and you and I can claim, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Can't do it on my own, but I can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I love that. Thou hast a little strength. Second thing he said here, he says, not only do you have a little strength, but he says, and has kept my word. See it in there toward the end of verse 8. Has kept my word. He said, you have a little strength. And he said this, he says, and you have kept my word. I love that. I love that. You've kept my word. He says in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You've kept my word. So, hey, you know what he's saying? He's saying, okay, you have a little strength and you're doing right. Do you understand? I'm tired is not an excuse for compromise. I'm tired is not an excuse for sin. Well, I'm just tired. I hear it all the time. Hey, young person, why did you do? I'm just tired. That's no excuse. Amen. Is anybody out there? I mean, I don't see well, but I do see dots. I don't see a whole lot of movement in the dots. Open your eye. No. It's no excuse. I'm tired. You know, every now and then, some elderly person will say to me, well, you know, I'm just tired. And you know, I'm just too tired to keep standing for the Lord. No excuse. Thou hast a little strength, but you kept my word. You kept my word. You know, folks who have little strength, God's showing me here they can do right. You know, kept my word means to do his word, but it also means to guard his word. Keep in the Bible always is talking about guarding something. You know, the keepers of the prison, what were they? They were the guards. And of all days, I mean, in our day, the battle today is to guard, to defend, to protect the word of God. I mean, it is under attack so much today. Of course, we use the King James Bible, and we're not going to back down. We're going to just keep going. You ever get tired, though? Oh, you know, I'm just under attack all the time. I go to the bookstore, and you can't even find one. And, you know, listen to me. Being tired is no excuse. In fact, being tired is a good reason to say, God, I need your strength to keep the Word of God. I need your strength to do it. I need your strength to guard it. I need your strength to keep standing. God, I need your power. I need your help. I cannot do it on my own. Nothing wrong with saying I cannot do it on my own, but don't you ever say I can't do it, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He said to them, he said, you've kept my word. You had a little strength, but you kept my word. You defended my word. You stuck with my word. By the way, we'll talk about this later, but notice in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. Wow. What's he saying about the Jewish synagogue there? The synagogue of Satan. I mean, this is a tough, tough area, this town, Philadelphia, the synagogue, I mean, God said it, you know, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I mean, he talks about this synagogue. So here they are in the midst of a religious apostasy. This, whatever this was, this synagogue, they say they're Jews, but they're not. I mean, this is a religious place here that God is calling a synagogue of Satan. I mean, here they are in the middle of that, in the middle of this religious apostasy that is all around them. And he says to them, "You've kept my word." Oh, you have a little strength. That synagogue of Satan, it has a lot of strength. I mean, it's powerful, it's big. But you just have a little strength, but you've kept my word. See, I think, honestly, folks, I think he likes our bookstore back there because we have King James Bibles in there. I think he sees that and he knows that's just a little teeny little bookstore right over here in our church. It's got kind of back off the hallway over here, and it's a nice bookstore, and it really is. But nobody, not a lot of people know about it. But I think he appreciates the fact that it has a little strength, and there's a mega bookstores all across the United States. They're huge, but I think he says, you know, you've kept my word. Last year we read through the Bible as a group to celebrate the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, and I think that pleased God. I really do. I think it pleased him because here's some people that are guarding, protecting, promoting his word. And, that is such a blessing. You know, we need to keep his word. Ushers, if you'll come and just go ahead and pass the plates around for the class, that'll be good. I'm going to just keep right on going. Keep his word. All around, by the way, the synagogue of Satan was there in Philadelphia. All around us, there's apostasy. And it's going to get worse and worse. Understand that during the tribulation, there will be apostasy like the world has never seen before. The Antichrist, he will be Antichrist. Antichrist. You understand, our day, I believe, our world is getting closer and closer and preparing people for that kind of a religious system. It is the Antichrist and the false prophet. It is a religious system that will be huge during the tribulation. By the way, it will have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit because we'll all be gone. And He in us. And wow, the influence of the Holy... Understand, that is all in preparation today. It is all coming true. But can we keep His word? Yes, we can. Can somebody keep His word? Yes, we can. Oh, but it's getting harder and harder. Amen. That's all right. We'll just keep His word. We'll just keep His word. That's what we need to do. Just keep His word, like the church at Philadelphia. Let me give this third thing under the commendation. And notice what else they did. Not only did they have a little strength, and it also says, verse 8, and has kept my word, but look what else he said, and has not denied my name. That is so good. That is so good. By the way, that goes with His word completely, and has not denied my name. Praise the Lord. Not denying His name. Keeping His word, not denying His name. Because if you deny His word, you deny His name. Follow me now. If you deny the word of God, you say, well, I don't believe that we have the word of God. Then you don't believe in Jesus. You may say you do, but you deny His word, you deny His name. Amen. What do you mean? Look at Psalm 138, verse 2. It's a verse you ought to know. You ought to know where it is. You ought to have it memorized, especially in our day. I'll hear people all the time say, well, I really don't care what the Bible says. I just love Jesus. That's not true. Amen. I'm going to start coming down there and amening myself here if we don't get some amens out of this Sunday school class. I know you're tired. I know it's hard. I know you're weak. You can hardly move. Anyway, Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Yeah, you know, I just don't go along with that Bible thing. But I just want to love Jesus. You don't love Jesus if you don't love His Word. Okay, you can't. The two have to be there. And the religious apostasy of our day is to totally, you know, the Word of God is not that important. Jesus is the most important. That isn't what God Himself said. He said, "I'm going to magnify my Word above all my name, my Word." And of course, in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." You can't talk about Jesus without talking about the Word. We cannot dismiss the Word. And people don't like the Word. Why? Because it's black and white. That's why. The Word, it's black and white, and we'll change it. We don't want that. It's, you know, we can make Jesus anything we want Jesus to be. We can make Jesus into some weak, anemic, long-haired guy that, you know, like anybody, and just say, "Whoa, we've got actors that act out like they're Jesus." But you know what? You can't change those words, right? You can't change the Word, and unless you just get a different Bible. But His Word, amen. We need to stick with it, and the church at Philadelphia stuck with it, and they did not deny His name. If you deny His Word, you deny His name. Real quick, some verses. Mark 8, verse 38. Mark 8 and verse 38. Mark 8. 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." You see that? Matthew 5, verse 17. Matthew, just back some pages there. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Just write these verses down. They'll help you. Matthew 5, 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And you know, we have a lot of people wanting to deny the name of Jesus Christ. I think it's very interesting that we're in this battle today of using the name of Jesus. It is a huge battle. Now, you're not going to hear about it on CNN or in the news media, but there are laws and foolish legislation and things whereby we're offending people because we use the name of Jesus. I was asked to pray for a county meeting, the courthouse meeting, and the first thing I said, "Now, when I pray, I'll be glad to come pray, but I said I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God like I talk to God." They said, "Oh, that's okay. That's okay, Reverend." Whenever they say Reverend, I get a little nervous. But that's okay. And you know, I prayed. I just prayed. And I prayed in Jesus' name, as I always do. I probably prayed the plan of salvation. I don't remember now. But I'm just saying, you know, you talk to God. That's like me talking to Brother Hawkins and saying, Hey, you, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to get to know you a little bit, but I don't want to talk about your name." Right. Anyway. But it is interesting that now they are allowing many other religions to talk about their names. You say, "What are you going to do, preacher?" I'm just going to keep doing right because He's watching my works. I'm going to just keep doing. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We just need to keep doing because He's watching our works. And you know, We like to think everything's going to just be fun and games, and our pews will always be padded, and we'll always have heat and air conditioning, and everything's going to be fun. We'll always have buildings and stained glass, and everything's going to be nice, and these nice chandeliers, but we don't know that. We don't know what we're going to always have. There's Christians all over the world that don't have it. There's Christians all over the world that go out in the forest, and they meet in a little glen in the woods. All over the world, Christians are meeting in places in secret. Because if they met in public, they'd be arrested. But they're still meeting and praising God and worshiping God and singing songs about God and most importantly, going out and telling people about the Lord. So I don't know what it's going to be like. I have no way of knowing that. But here's what I'm saying. Let's first of all, we may have just a little strength, but if we have a little strength, we have enough strength. Let's keep His word like they did. Amen. And let's not deny His name. I don't care how weak you get. Don't deny His name. Don't back down. Don't compromise. Don't give in. We'll just keep going. Why? Well, He's watching our works, so we need to keep working. Amen. What a sad thing it would be for the Lord to write a letter to Berean Baptist Church and say, "I know thy works, and you're doing nothing." It'd be a sad thing, wouldn't it? Since we are His workmanship, created unto good works. Amen. Father, thank You so much for Your blessings today. Thank You for our class time. I pray it's been profitable. Lord, it sure has helped me a lot. This little passage of Scripture has been such a blessing to me. And sometimes I feel like I am the one that just has a little strength. And God, I feel like often that You deserve so much more. And yet You want us to be weak so that we can be strong in You. And I want that strength, and I pray for that strength. Lord, I want to do everything in Your power. And I pray for that, for myself, for our church. Lord, that we would be the lighthouse we need to be in our area. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.